Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
It's the Amazing Rico Bronya Podcast with your host, Evan Roberts.
Ah, that sucked. On a hot, steamy night from Citi Field, we thought we were going to get our Juan Soto moment, our moment where the Mets come back and beat the Atlanta Braves, our moment where the offense truly breaks out of their ridiculous slump that they've been in for a long time. And I don't want to put this on Juan Soto because Juan is literally their only offense. His two-run home run he hit off the immortal Spencer Schwellenbach was literally it for this limp-dick offense. But unfortunately, him striking out against Dylan Lee is the image. That's the image of this game. It's the image of their offensive ineptitude as the Mets lose to the Atlanta Braves opening up this four-game series. This is a drive-home edition of Rico Bronya. It was quite an evening at Citi Field. It was very hot. It was very steamy, as Pete Hoffman will tell you. I don't know if he could do much talking. He's driving home as well. But Pete was very impressed by the fan I brought. I don't mean WFAN, and I don't mean some fan. I mean literally an effing fan that we hooked up on the little gate in front of us in the 300 section, so at least there could be hot air blowing on us, because the rest of this was a disaster. Was there some positive? Sure, Paul Blackburn didn't completely implode. That's a positive. He pitched into the fifth inning. He was not away from getting through five, and the Met bullpen did an outstanding job. Jose Buteau was great, even stranding a few Paul Blackburn-inherited runners. Ryan Stanek made things exciting, but he got out of it with a scoreless inning. Reed Garrett had a great bounce-back performance, and Edwin Diaz made the big pitch when he needed to. The Met pitching, and this includes everyone I just mentioned and Paul Blackburn, held the Atlanta Braves to 1-for-11 with runners in scoring position. So the Met pitching did their freaking job. Even Paul Blackburn, despite getting off to a very ominous start, the leadoff hit to Acuna, the stolen base, got through it when Acuna didn't know what he was doing on the base path. Same thing in the second inning, even though it did turn into Atlanta's first run. Like, Paul Blackburn wasn't brilliant, but he kept them in the game. And he gave this offense an opportunity, as did this Met bullpen, gave this offense an opportunity when the Met pitching made big pitch after big pitch after big pitch. Literally, they did everything they could to keep this offense in the game. And for whatever reason, Spencer Schwellenbach, who they saw a week ago, so you would hope this offense, based on seeing him recently, would get really good at-bats and maybe build off the progress of a week ago. And instead, there were only 3 innings in this entire freaking game where they had guys on base. Think about that for a second. They played 9 innings against Atlanta. 3 of them were innings that featured some semblance of a rally. The rest of it, they went down 1-2-3. They did the 1-2-3 dance. Cha-cha-cha, cha-cha-cha, cha-cha-cha. They couldn't do anything. And so I could sit here as I drive home making my turn on, I forget, you know, I take the same route every time I leave Citi Field and I forget the streets I'm on. But you know what? I'm about to face a cross section, so I'll give you a description. I made a left on Linden Place. What I do is I go on a northern, I go to Linden, and then I jump on the highway. And if there's traffic on the highway, I take the service road. But let me give you some advice about this service road on the Whitestone Expressway. If you go fast on the service road, which is a feeling you want to do, because if there's traffic on the highway and you're on the service road and you can see everybody sitting there, there's this instinct, there's this animalistic feeling that you want to go fast. You want to go faster than all the schmucks that are sitting there. Let me stop so I can let this guy make a left turn. Come on. Let it make a turn. I'm a nice driver. There was too much traffic. I stopped. I let the guy turn. Anyhow, when you're on the service road, you have this animalistic sense that you want to go faster than everyone who's stuck on the highway. Let me give you a little tip. There are cameras on the service road of the Whitestone Expressway, before you get on the Whitestone Bridge. So if you go too fast, which I have done numerous times, you will get a ticket in the mail. And I have gotten a ticket in the mail many, many, many times. So for all the money I save not buying water bottles at Citi Field, because I bring my own water, I give it back to our beautiful city, New York City, in what I like to call the dumb tax. Because I have such an urge to go fast on the service road, I get a ticket. Anyhow, what was I talking about? Oh, yeah, let's get back to the Olympic offense. So I'm concerned. Like, what is my level of concern? I don't know how to define it. I guess I'm not at the level of we're not going to make the playoffs concern. But I am at the level of this offense is not what I thought it was concern. And I did have that mea culpa on the Rico the other day. I did it on Evan and Tiki as well, where I come clean and say, I thought this offense would be a lot better than what it was. And as they continue to engage in this massive batting slump, you look at the bottom of the order, you look at everything past the front four guys, and it's tough to believe it's going to change. I mean, Tyrone Taylor's a light-hitting center fielder. No surprise he didn't do anything today. Brett Beatty did have two hits, which I guess was the positive, but is anybody going to get fooled by Brett Beatty again? I mean, are we? Luis Torrens is here for his defense, so he's a light-hitting catcher, yet he's being asked to hit, what was he hitting today, sixth in the batting order? Jared, what's his name? I'm forgetting his name as I'm driving. The guy, Jared Young, thank you. Thought of that in my head. Who, yeah, he stuck it to me on Saturday by hitting that solo home run that was freaking meaningless. He stinks! That's the problem. You got too many guys in the order who aren't very good. So there is traffic on the Whitestone, so I am staying on the service road, and I'm going to go very slowly. I don't care if people start lighting me up behind me. I'm going to go slowly. I am done giving this city $75 or whatever the hell they charge for a cheap speeding ticket. And it is a cheap speeding ticket because they're freaking cheating. Here's my opinion on speeding tickets. If there isn't a cop there to pull you over and say you are going too fast, you have no right to give me a ticket. The cameras are cheating. I'll give you the red light camera. Okay, that one I understand. All right, so here's the part. I'm looking to my left, and there are cars just sitting there, and I'm on the service road, and I'm like, damn it, I want to go fast. I just want to floor it. I want to show these idiots how much faster I'm going, but I'm not going to do it. Not going to do it. So you look at this lineup after the front four guys, and you can't expect them to hit every night or hit every at-bat, which goes back to the Soto at-bat. Soto had a two-run home run in this game. Soto hit the ball hard in his at-bat prior to that. Like, Juan Soto's locked in. It sucks that he struck out against Dylan Lee. It does. I was hoping for the big moment, too. But this is really on everybody else. Because when you look at this Met offense over the last, what do you want to say, month, basically, he's the guy carrying it. He's the guy producing. And before anybody says, yeah, but what about the clutch moments? And there's no doubt that the eighth inning of this game is a clutch moment, of course. You're down a run, two on, two out, a chance to tie or take the lead. It's obviously a clutch moment, but so was the two-run home run that got them in the game. They're down 3-0 in the sixth inning. Soto comes up. Remember, this is the same inning where Lindor bounced into the double play, which really we thought short-circuited the rally, but then luckily Brandon Nimmo comes through and obviously Juan Parks won. That's a clutch hit too. I mean, he's not going to come through every at-bat, and that's the problem. Like, Pete Alonso was terrible in this game. Obviously, took an 0-for-4 with two strikeouts. But there are going to be days where your best hitter or one of your best hitter takes an 0-for. And that's where you need something from the bottom of this order, which right now is a problem. And unfortunately, there isn't an easy answer. Now, Pete Hoffman sat there at Fanatics Fest. I remember this. We did our Rico Bronya episode 502 or 501, whatever the hell it was, 502. And after we spoke to Mendy, Hoff said, hey, remember, David Stearns has done gutsy things before. Joey Wendell, right? Jorge Lopez. Well, if you look at the last 48 hours, not that it's on the same level, but it kind of is, he sent down Francisco Alvarez and said, it is not acceptable what you're doing defensively and offensively. By the way, Luis Torrens should have blocked that wild pitch in the second or third inning. I forget the inning. but whatever. So they made the gutsy move by sending Alvarez down. They made the sort of gutsy move by sending Acuna down. And I questioned this on the last Rico we did, which was, hey, if you think Alvarez needs to play every day, and that's why you're sending him down, what about Acuna? Acuna never plays. He got the rare start on Sunday against Lizardo, but Acuna is a defensive replacement slash pinch runner. So if you feel playing time is important for a young player, why not Acuna? Well, they heard. So they send Acuna down for Janikowski. They pick up Dickie Lovelady, who I has always known as Richard Lovelady, but I guess he wants to go by Dickie. He always had a great name, Richard Lovelady. Some of us would just call him Dick Lovelady anyway, but now he's Dickie Lovelady. So they're making those moves. Now, Hoff, I don't know if you're able to talk because you're doing a drive home as well, and you're not as experienced in the skill of the drive home as I am. So I guess I'll ask it rhetorically. Oh, there he is. I'll ask you, is that enough? Is sending Acuna down, sending Alvarez down, bringing in Dickie Lovelady, is that enough in your mention of, hey, do something tough, David Stearns, like you did last year?
No, it's not, but I still think more moves are going to go. I think that we're at the point now where, you know, Vientos is going to be here soon. Who's getting sent down next?
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I can't hear you very well. I don't know if that's me or if that's you. I heard what you said about Vientos coming back. The one thing I'd warn is when Vientos comes back, Mauricio will likely go down. I think that's the logical kind of step because it goes back to the playing time thing. Like Vientos gets called, gets activated, he's going to play third base or DH, and then it's either going to be Brett Beatty or Jared Young. I mean, that's really what we're looking at. Now, you could argue that's redundant and you could get rid of Young, but where's the playing time for Mauricio, who has not hit? Like, he's had a couple of brief moments, but he hasn't hit. He's also a better left-hand hitter than right. So my guess is Mauricio is going to be the one to go down. And look, Mark Vientos, I'll say right now about Mark Vientos. We talk about this lineup and the state of this lineup and how wrong I feel about what this offense could have been and how there are four positions they're getting zero production out of. They're getting nothing out of catcher, nothing out of third base, nothing out of DH, and nothing out of center field offensively. Mark Vientos is becoming their most important player. Now, I don't mean he's more important than Diaz or Soto. You get what I mean. From this moment on, in terms of turning this offense around and turning this stretch around, which is now extended to 9 out of 10 losses, which is ugly, they need Mark Vientos because there's no one else walking through that door. They called up Mauricio like we wanted. Beatty's got the opportunity. Like, you want to tell me they're going to promote Jet Williams? You want to tell me they're going to promote, who else? I'm thinking of Joey Meneses, who's put up big numbers at Triple. You want to give him a try? I mean, is that the big move to save the offense? The realistic, sort of realistic, and impactful move that has to happen right now is Mark Vientos has to come back. And he's got to hit. He's got to be the productive player he was in the second half of last year. If he's not, then, look, we could sit here and wait for the trade deadline, and we will do plenty of Ricos previewing all of the potential targets that the Mets could have. And surprisingly, I go from it should be a center fielder to it's just got to be a bat. If the production's going to come from catcher because it's Hunter Goodman, fine. If the production's going to come out of DH, because they haven't gotten a lot out of it. Winker's hurt. Marte's been okay. And now it's Jared Young. Fine. I mean, if the production's going to be third base with Vientos DHing and Beatty DH, fine. Like, it is going to come to a point now where you just look at this lineup and say, they need to add a bat. I'm not unrealistic to say they need to add 5 bats or 4 bats or 3 bats, but I was hoping there was going to be answers from internal. Like, if you want to examine why I've been wrong about this offense, it comes down to those positions I said and the young players not stepping up. Mark Vientos taking a step back has been a huge blow. But I look at this game tonight as we do a drive home, Rico Bronya. I am now on the hutch and I'm cruising at a nice speed. I am not speeding. My car gave me a warning. You may have heard. You're going 10 miles an hour over the speed limit. Well, first of all, I don't think 10 miles an hour over the speed limit is bad, nor do I think that's ticket worthy. But I've been doing some research because I'm going to Europe where, yes, we will try to do Rico Bronya's. I don't know if they'll be as frequent as we do them, but I told Hoff, I said, we're going to try to do Rico's while I'm in Europe for the series recaps. For me, they're going to be at like 4 in the morning. For you guys, they'll be a normal time, and then you can download them. But I'm doing driving in Europe. So we're doing some driving. I'm actually driving from, I forget the two cities now because I just can't remember. I think one of them is a Barcelona. We are driving from Barcelona, all the way up to Italy. And then eventually we're leaving from some Italian city. So I'm doing a lot of driving. And what I read about Europeans is that if you go 4 miles an hour over the speed limit, you're going to get a ticket. And God knows, I do not want to get a ticket in a foreign country. I don't want to deal with it. I don't want to risk it. I don't want them to look at that dumb redheaded American and throw me into some kind of Italian prison. So I am trying to practice right now driving right at the speed limit because I'm going to have to do that in Europe. And I'll tell you one thing I've noticed. Everybody's passing me. So I am now the old lady driver. But what a freaking terrible loss. I mean, you sit there in 90-degree heat on women's night. We're honoring the ladies. And you get nothing from this offense. They couldn't even put something together against Schwellenbach. I mean, Spencer Schwellenbach's pitch count through 4 was like 46. His pitch count through 5 was like 58. It was ridiculous. And a lot of, I mean, they had some hard contact, not a lot. You know, Soto hit that line drive. But it also felt that this game was a wasted opportunity considering the bullpen. And you basically used all your good relievers outside of Brazoban. And they did a great job. I mean, the bullpen goes out and throws 4 1/3 innings of scoreless baseball and makes every big pitch they needed to. So my worry meter continues to go up. I'm not fully panicking yet. I think if they lose, I don't know, 3 more games in this series and they get swept by the Braves again, yes, it'll probably be a full panic. But every day that goes by, 2 games in a row, the Philly game on Sunday, this game against Atlanta, and you manage to score 3 runs in 2 games on a solo home run by Lindor, late down 7-0, a 2-run home run by Juan Soto. That's your entire offense. Every day that goes by, the worry meter on this team and this lineup continues to grow. Not even the pitching. It is now formed to this lineup and where the production is going to come from. Is it going to come from Luis Torrens, who is a proven light-hitting catcher? Is it going to come from Tyrone Taylor, who is a proven light-hitting center fielder? You've already taken 2 positions where, yes, defense is a plus, and you're almost punting them offensively. Because other than a couple of good games that Taylor is certainly capable of having, or Torrens is capable of having, they're not offensive players. It's been proven throughout their major league careers. So now you look at DH, where it's essentially Jared Young and Starling Marte, and you look at third base, that's why it's Vientos. That's why Mark Vientos' return, whenever it happens, is incredibly important. Spencer Strider on the mound against Frankie Montas in game 2 of this series. I don't know what to say. I mean, on paper, it feels almost as bad as Zach Wheeler against Blade Tidwell. You know, Blade Tidwell's at least a good young arm, you never know. Pitched into the 4th inning, pitched reasonably well. Frankie Montas has a 12 ERA in rehab games. Let's hope it was spring training. Let's hope it doesn't matter. I mean, do we trust these bats to figure out Spencer Strider, who they had some good at-bats against early in their last game, but clearly, based on what they didn't do against Schwellenbach, seeing a guy a week earlier doesn't really help. Doesn't really help at all. So, there you go. I'm starving, by the way. I got to this game late. I made a decision. Usually when I go to these games, You want to try to talk off? Let me see if I can hear you. Go ahead.
Yeah, I switched to my phone. Is that any better?
Yeah, now I can hear you. What's up? How you feeling?
I feel like crap. That was a sticky, hot game, and the Braves just unpants us again. Listen, I got to be honest, dude. I'm in panic mode right now. I don't think it's going to take a sweep of the Braves to make me feel panicky. I'm there.
Really? Yeah. Full pack, go ready.
Yeah, there's no hope in sight. The only guy that's hitting is Soto. Lindor and Alonso are back to being like blah. There's no big bat that's coming anytime soon. Even if it's Mark Vientos, I still don't think that's big enough. He had his own struggles. You're sitting there saying Mark Vientos is important. I'm sitting here going, he's important, but we don't even know if he's still in his sophomore slump.
Yeah. But if he hits, if he can get out of that quote-unquote sophomore slump, even if it's not technically a sophomore year, I think it does change the lineup. I think getting one more impactful bat, and if it could come internally, I think takes the pressure off the fact that you've got two spots that are plus defense, lack of hitting spots. That's why I do think Vientos hitting can change things. I mean, it's the lineup we thought of when this season started. He truly has been offensively such a huge disappointment. I'd put him above Alvarez as a disappointment because I think with Francisco, we're waiting for the breakout. In Vientos' case, we saw the breakout. And we saw him do it in some of the biggest spots known to man in the postseason against Philadelphia and L.A. I think he can turn things around, or at least help turn this lineup around. But, wow, we lost Hoff. You know what they say, when you lose Cronkite, when you lose Hoff, and he starts to panic, that's when the rest of the Rico audience is going to start to panic. You understand that?
Listen, you know what will help me get out of this funk? Bring up Joey Meneses. Let me see if the guy's got a couple home runs in that bat.
I brought him up earlier. I didn't even think it was, real. Like, yeah, Joey Meneses. Why the hell not? I will say, the problem with Meneses is it's another right-handed bat. And you already have Marte, and you already have Vientos coming back. And I don't know. I don't know where he gets his at-bats from. You know what I mean? I think one thing they'll have to consider when Winker comes back, if Winker ever does come back, is Brandon Nimmo actually playing center field. You know, that could be a potential option, especially if they add a corner outfielder. Like, I'll give you an example. I'm going to throw a name at you. I think someone emailed the name, so I apologize if you're listening and you're like, hey, Ev, give me credit. Ryan O'Hearn from the Orioles, who's having a tremendous year. O'Hearn is a first baseman / outfielder. He's a corner outfielder, though. He's not playing center field. If you could add a bat that way, you could just DH him, call it a day, or he could end up playing left field with Brandon Nimmo playing center field. I don't think Brandon Nimmo would be that big of a liability defensively. He also feels healthier. Like, a part of the reason we didn't want to see Nimmo in center field a month and a half ago is he didn't feel healthy. He does feel healthy.
Can I say something about that? And I think I know what it is. He clearly has chronic knee issues. That's a clear thing that we all know, whether it's, and also maybe the heel issue as well. The fact is that the weather is warmer now. His body is feeling more healthy. End of story. That's it.
Maybe. Hey, whatever helps. Whatever helps. But an awful night. You know, Pete was very good company. We had a nice time sitting there. But it was a rough, rough night. I got there in the bottom of the first inning because I made a decision, which I do not regret. As much as I love getting the games on time, and I take the train to ensure that, I did not want to be on a freaking sticky train on a 100-degree day. So I drove in, got there in the bottom of the first inning, so I missed the Paul Blackburn escape job, walked in with one out and nobody on and Brandon Nimmo up. But once I sat down and I set up that fan I talked about at the beginning of the week, it was like, I can't get up. I ain't getting up to get ice cream. And the problem with ice cream, I thought about it, because Hoff will tell you there was a woman who came back with three giant hats of ice cream in the middle of this game. Was it three or was it four? There was a lot of ice cream there.
It was three, but they were thick, man. They were thick.
Well, the problem I had is I'm looking at the ice cream, and at first I was jealous, thinking, man, I'd pay this woman to go back and get me an ice cream. I saw how quickly it was melting. Like, the problem with a night like tonight is that Mr. Softy becomes way too soft before you even sit down in your seat. So I think the only way to eat Mr. Softee is to immediately eat it and do it in a club that has air conditioning. Because as soon as you take the bad boy outside, man, it is a race against time with how quick that thing's going to melt.
By the way, on a different note about awkwardness and eating ice cream, this has nothing to do with ice cream, but Evan, I got to be honest with you, man, and I had a great time. I did not expect, we were talking about foul balls. I asked Evan, I'm like, have you caught a foul ball? And he goes, I've never caught a foul ball, but I've gotten ones that have dropped or like rolled to me. I have to pick them up. And then about 2 minutes later, a ball comes flying, whizzing by Evan's head. And he did not attempt to catch it. He ducked. He ducked. And it almost hit a girl in the head.
Yeah. I have been as honest as humanly possible. I have no interest in a foul ball. I have no interest in picking one up. I have no interest in fighting some other person for it. And I certainly don't have interest in getting in the way of a freaking line drive. I don't have a glove on. I got my scorebook. I'm protecting that. I'm protecting my body. And so you're damn right. And the ball was hit by Ronald Acuna Jr., just for the record, because he then hit another one that got blocked by the screen. I live by this, man. I am not going after foul balls. I didn't see you jump out of the seat, bro.
Well, I would have, but you were in the way, so I didn't want to knock you over.
That would have annoyed me, especially if my book fell down. And I also want to thank a gentleman who did come over in the third inning and said, here is the first inning that you missed. My son listens to your show on The Fan, and you said, hey, if anybody comes down, show me the inning I missed. And so I don't even think this guy listened. I think his son listened. So I appreciate his son, and thank you very much for giving me the inning I missed. It was very nice. Very nice. But a sucky night outside of good company and a night at the ballpark, because this team's offense completely blows right now. Remember, download the Rico Bronya, because you never know when we're going to give you a surprise drive home Rico. Thank you very much for listening to another depressed edition of Rico Bronya.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Rico Bronya podcast. It's amazing, isn't it? Make sure you download it now to keep it on you at all times.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.